Sun hacks.
Ring a ding ding, you got the kings. Welcome to another episode of the Phone Hacks Podcast with me, Mike Goldstein, and the sunny to my share, Nick Capper. How are you, Nick?
Hey, I forget what song they sing together.
I got you back.
Yeah.
I was going to say Islands in the Stream.
That's Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That would have been good. Yeah. And you've already heard him. We got returning guest Dane Simpson is back. How are you, Dane?
Woo! Good. Well, I'm good up until getting on this, but yeah, great. Other than it's been a weird year for me in particular.
Oh, just you. Yeah. Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, you know, I had this gig, don't have it anymore.
Shit, man. You're doing it rough.
You know. you proposed earlier this year, Dane. Or no, late last year. Late last year you proposed.
Yeah.
Were you going to have your wedding this year?
I never really was going to have the wedding. To tell you the truth, I did it on stage. I was bombing and I was just like, I know how to get him back.
What a save. Yeah.
And
so that's why you kept
standing
that's
ovation.
Why you kept your girlfriend around for a long time.
Yeah.
To just go, fuck, this will be a good life raft one day.
To tell you the truth, she's actually just a techie. But yeah, I've always got that bit in my back pocket just in case.
I can't believe she said yes after watching you bomb for 15, 20 minutes or whatever it was.
Well, technically it wasn't 15, 20 minutes. It's been about 3 years. So
yeah, you bomb in real life. Yeah, day to day. But it's good to have you back, man, because I was thinking back to the hack you did when you were on like a year and a half ago or whenever it was. And it was the you were getting gastric bypass surgery and the hashtag was flaboriginal. That was pretty fucked up.
Like the hashtag is what saved me, to tell you the truth. A lot of my really close friends were like, what? How do I not know about this? And then the hashtag, and they were like, oh, this is clearly a joke. But in saying that, I still get people going, so did you get the surgery? Because they're trying to be polite and go, you don't look any skinnier.
You've done a real what's his name? Lachlan Packer. Which one got the James Packer got the gastric band surgery and then he went fat again.
The nutty professor himself he did a few performances and then just went back to clump. For some reason people are just they want to know. But and I think it's because it was on my my personal Facebook where I don't really make a lot of jokes. I save that for the for my comedy page. I think people were genuinely taken by, and also I live in Wagga Wagga. It's not a small country town, but it's quite a large city. But everybody knows each other, and if you fart downtown, by the time you get home, you've shit yourself in the story. You know what I mean? So it's
man, I love the thought that people just saw you and they're like, wow, that gastric bypass doesn't work at all. That's fucking amazing. It's so good. But yeah, the fallout was great from that. And you're back. I should say the concept of the show, if there's any first-time listeners, a spinning wheel decides whether we go through draft tweets, notes, camera roll, or search history. We're recording this over Zoom. We don't really have the bell anymore. So we do a safe word if something comes up that you don't want to talk about. Dane, it's up to you. Pick any word you want as a safe word to yell out if you want something cut from the episode.
Crapper.
All right, there you go.
Crapper.
Yeah.
Nice.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Man, the myth, the legend. Me. Crapper. My brother, for his D&T, his design and technology project, he made like a little toilet thing that when you press a pedal, it puts the seat up, and he called it the Capper Crapper. And when we found that at home in Dad's shed, we were like, this is the best thing you ever... Why didn't you fucking capitalize on this, you know?
Capitalize.
So what are we saying? You put your, it's like a foot pedal to a bin, and when you push the foot pedal down, the bin lid opens, similar to the toilet lid will lift, and then you can pee. That's genius. Like, genuinely, that is genius.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that didn't go worldwide. Like, that sounds like something you'd patent, and it would be everywhere. Because then, you know, I never lift the seat. I'm just, you know, it's, I don't have to sit on my pee. It's my fiance.
What?
But you just, how just mark you your territory every time, Mike. Every time you just mark in your territory.
Yeah, of course. Don't you do that?
Do you poop standing up? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Like, you never sit down on the toilet?
No, that's the only way I can work my quads in isolation. Just by hovering a half squat.
the old kangaroo.
Yeah. Dude, I'm going to have haunches by the end of this. I'm going to be a goddamn linebacker by the end of isolation, you know? And I slowly stand like it's soft serve.
I love the American Jewish guy does the kangaroo squat to poo. Like, that's...
Oh, dude, it's multicultural. It's the I'm a melting pot over here. So,
the kangaroo.
Yeah, there you go.
Kangaroo.
Oh, man. I toured with a couple old comedians, Chris Franklin, who we'll talk about in a second, and they thought it was the height of comedy to call me anything that rhymed with Jew. So they would be like, hey, what's the kangaroo up to?
Like the rhyming slang?
Yeah. And they thought it was just like so funny. And I was like, you guys are fucking in your 60s and you're drunk at 10 a.m. and you can't even think of a second word that rhymes with Jew.
To be fair, these guys came up with the, so not them in particular, but that generation came up with, so we call in Australia, it's a very typical Australian thing to call English people Poms. Yep. Now, I looked this up because it was crazy when we were touring around with this. Brendan Rees is a comedian from England, and he's like, why do you call me Pom? And we Googled it. Genuinely, it's rhyming slang for immigrant, pomegranate, and then shortened to Pom. And I'm like, they don't even rhyme, but that is genuinely where that comes from.
Right. Immigrant, pomegranate. What the fuck? That is Jesus. Such a stretch.
Yeah,
that is a real stretch.
And when we Googled it and we're looking at it, and we just found it, and I'm like, nah, that's not it. It's got to be something else. And no, genuinely, we couldn't find that was it. That's the
man. That's SoundCloud rapper effort rhyming. You know?
Yeah.
Man, so what, you're in Wagga at the moment. You're in Wagga, which is just near the border. Of course, you've been closed off from coming to Melbourne, the place where there's so many masters of comedy that give you, you know, like guys like me that show you the ropes and stuff. are you getting rusty down there or what, you know? Well, what's happening in Wagga? What are you doing with your days down there?
Well, we've invented a game here called Servo Bingo, which I've sent you a sheet. I should send one to Goldstein. I think you'd like it, my brother. But basically, it's just this fun night, right? On a Tuesday night, we watch a servo. We're at the pub, the brewery here called the Thirsty Crow. We watch the servo across the road, and we try and pick what's going to happen at the servo. So we've got about 35 different items that could happen. People walk in off the street without driving in is one of them. A police car could turn up. A guy with a ute and a dog in the back is one of them. Then we have really plain stuff like white car, blue car, silver car. And on your bingo sheet, you have about nine of them, like nine different of these items. And if you can get all nine in 45 minutes, we'll give you four beers.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
That is so good. How did you come up with the concept of this?
So the guy who the brewer at the pub, he plays it in his brain, you know, like he's brewing a beer. Brewing a batch of beer, and he looks over at the servo, and a cop car pulls up, and he's like, "I would have had that in my bingo sheet today, I reckon." And he's told me this idea, and we've just gone, "Yeah, absolutely, we can make this an actual thing." We've been doing it for 20 weeks. So when Australia as a whole went into lockdown, where you came up with the concept and then started doing it. So everybody was in their house locked down anyways. So on a Tuesday night, they just got in just on Facebook. We go Facebook Live. We stream on Facebook Live and on Twitch. And people watch it and you can get your bingo sheet and away you go.
Oh, man, that is great. That is excellent. And what... How is Wagga going? Are pubs open and all that kind of stuff? Is it business as usual or is it pretty chill?
It's it is chill. Business so pubs are open. You can go to the pub. It's keeping safe, so you've got to be, I think they're saying that 4 square meter rule where you've got your own space. Yeah. But other than that, you can go to the pub. You're not allowed to dance. I don't know why it's fucking footloose all of a sudden.
Oh,
but
dude, that must have ruined you. You love fucking getting out there and man, just cut that up.
That's how I do it, you know. And the thing is that I'm such a great dancer, and I'm not greedy with it. I let people enjoy my dancing. So yeah, and that, so you have to stay seated at the pub, which works for me in a way because we can do some. We can do some comedy shows at the pub because people have to be seated anyway. So the best form of entertainment is really any kind of entertainment where people are coming in and entertaining people without them getting up and dancing. So,
man,
yeah,
this is good. You know, you're on that side of the border, so you're in New South Wales, but it's genuinely making me more depressed that there's more going on in Wagga than in Melbourne.
Well, I was laughing because I was like, everybody's like, oh, you live in Wagga Wagga, right? But now that COVID's hit and everyone who lives in Sydney, Melbourne, and I'm like, oh, you live in Sydney, oh, you live in Melbourne. Wagga Wagga's where it's at, guys. You can go to the pub.
God
finally damn we're at the top of the billboards. Yeah.
Man, what I'd give for just a shit Wagga pub right now, just walking in. Just the smell of the carpet, some bloke staring at me like I'm a weirdo.
Dude, I'd pay a $20 cover charge just to watch Dane dance, you know?
Man, your dad, you know, you always talk about your dad. He's got the best lines. He's the funniest dude ever. Yep. But the best line your dad ever said to me was, I'm Tina Tuna, Shrimply the best.
Oh, absolutely.
That is always stuck in my head. Every time I see a photo of him, I think it makes no sense, but it makes all the sense in the world.
His other classic, so there's that, you're Tina Tuna, you're Shrimply the best, and his other classic is what's Elvis Presley's favourite months of the year? February, March. And, dude, it doesn't make sense. I don't.
That one doesn't have the same ring as Shrimply the best, but I like it nearly as much. It's
February, March. I think it's Elvis Presley, thank you very much, but also February, March. I don't know, man, but it's either way, it gets me every time. I'm like, yeah, Dad, you're the greatest.
Man, that's the highest level of confidence ever, that you can just walk up to somebody and say that and make them laugh.
Yep.
Is that really shows his character.
Okay.
I would love that as a pickup line. Is it a pickup line? You're Tina Tuna, Shrimply the best? Because if you said that to a random woman, they would be fucking horrified.
So me and Dad are at the pub, and me and him always spin like stupid gags. Like if we hear a stupid dumb joke, then we just, when we're at the pub, we just tell each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, Dad's like, you got anything for me? And I was like, yeah, oh yeah. Why do mathematicians wear glasses? And he's like, what? And I was like, it helps with division. Eh? Eh? And he's like, ah, good one, good one.
It took me a while.
Right. And he goes,
slow today, Mike.
Why don't you tell your uncle that? And I was like, no, you tell him. And he's going, all right, hey, come over here. Why do mathematicians wear glasses? So they can see the problem. And people laughed. It, like, people at the pub laughed. And I'm like, that's not the joke. And it also doesn't even make sense, what you said. Like, there's no cleverness. It annoyed me to a point where I'm yelling at my dad.
It kind of makes sense. Like, see the problem, see the math problem, I guess. But it's not the genius level of division. But fuck, yeah. I'm still trying to get my head around immigrant pomegranate, so fucking I'm way behind. Oh, shit. So I explained the premise of the show. Last week we had Dilruk Jayasinha on the episode. Fantastic guest, as always. And the hacks that went out, it was very specific, as in we only targeted kind of one guy in the messages, the aforementioned Chris Franklin. And as you know, Dane, Chris Franklin is known from the Bloke parody song of Bitch by Meredith Brooks. That's his claim to fame. Dill sent him a parody suggestion, like actually sang into a clip he made. And Capper, do you want to sing the song that you wrote for Dill?
Yeah.
Dr. Chode, Dr. Chode, gonna blow my load. Dr. Chode, Dr. Chode, wake up now.
Wake up now.
I love it.
And he filmed that and then sent it to Franklin and said parody song suggestion. And I don't know if he got any response at all.
You know, that's crazy because Franklin, like, he's a yarner. Like, he loves to text back. It's not like he doesn't get a message and respond to you. Like, he's a guy that will have a yarn to you. He's doing nothing else, so why not?
Yeah.
I know. He's stuck in Tasmania just sinking VBs. But I think it's because my message to him was, I also texted Franklin. Capper had me send him the message, I got two dicks. That's the whole thing. That's the entire message. I got two dicks.
Did he respond?
He did. He responded, lol, right? And then I just tried to, just to see how he would respond, I said, sorry, wrong person, right? And then he said, I don't think it was. So.
What a ledge.
So we really doubled up on Franklin. And so then he would have got, I got two dicks from me, and then he would have got Dr. Chode from Dill. And he would have just been like, what the fuck are they making fun? I don't know what is going on, but it's like the most attention I've got from younger comics in a long time.
He is a brilliant comedian. Like, he is such, and he also did that COVID song, the Stay the Fuck at Home.
Yeah.
It started off as a poem, and then it grew into a song, and then it went viral. He's just a phenomenal comedian.
Oh, he's a great dude.
There's stories about him. Guy. Like, he's one of the only people in the last 200 years to get scurvy because he refuses to eat fruit. There's, you know, so he's just this raging alcoholic. I've been on tour with the dude so much. And like I was thinking about this the other day. We did a gig at like a mine site and it was pretty rough. And he used the classic line on a heckler, I don't come to where you work and slap the dicks out of your mouth, right? And it just crushed. Yeah. It crushed. And it's such like the oldest, it's a line from the 80s. And then I remember after the show, one of the few females that worked on the mine site came up to him and she was like, that was so funny that I don't slap the dicks out of your mouth line. Like, how did you come up with that? And he knew I was listening, but rather than just going, oh, it's an old line, he goes, sometimes just inspiration hits you when you're up there. and he just acted like it was just this genius comeback on the spot. And I was like, you piece of shit. Like, you goddamn ass.
He's one of the best. I went on, I wasn't on obviously that tour with you, but I'm assuming you're talking about the dually touring around that you've been on.
Yeah. One of the most trial by fire tours a comedian can put themselves through in this country. And mine was six weeks. I don't know how long yours was, but 6 weeks was brutal.
Yep. Yeah. Same. And like, it's the most brutal. But also, you come out the other end of it like a better comedian, and yeah, Maybe not a better person, but certainly better comedian.
Oh, yeah, dude. Way worse person. And then you're almost a better comedian because if you watch like some of the jokes that go well that Dooley does or depending who the other acts are, you're like, yeah, I should never emulate or do any of that because it's insane. Yeah. It's like 1980s comedy, you know? Yeah.
100%. And I don't know if you've ever delved into watching me do comedy, but I certainly steer clear of really like crass or like that kind of gags. I do like a lot of like nicer stuff. Although my dad's got a potty mouth, that would be the absolute limit. So I'm on this tour where they're expecting me to just go, yeah, and then fucking the cunts. And then I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
And they hated me.
Oh, dude. And you couldn't even do your closer where you proposed to your girlfriend, you know?
So. Yeah. Yeah.
You had to try and propose to the one of the dudes you had on tour with, and they're like, boo, this is Western Australia. That's,
yeah, man.
Marrying a dude, yuck.
No, we voted against this.
We voted no.
It was such a crazy, but came out the other end of it, such a better comedian and a little bit more connecting to the people, I think. Like, you know, like you do get those mining kind of blokes out there and you're just like, oh, yeah, you deserve to have a mad laugh and be a bit fun and silly. And they work stupid hours, you know, like that, yeah. So it was cool. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah, so some of the gigs are to the night shift workers, so you're up there at like 7 a.m., to perform to like 12 dudes just drinking tinnies and downing cigarettes, and it's fucking brutal. And they're all outdoors. Like the first time after 6 weeks that I got to perform under a roof, I was like, this is luxury. This is amazing. You know
what's really funny is that they're like, oh, you know, don't tell any stories about Aboriginal people. And I'm like, oh, I was gonna tell a story about my dad and he's Aboriginal, so I don't know how to not do that. Surely you get a pass.
Surely you get like it's. I think that applies to them. That's so
weird. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it ended up being like as soon as they figured it out. Well, especially Dooley. Dooley's like, nah, don't worry about it, mate. You can do whatever you want. Like you're an Aboriginal. You can do whatever you'll find.
Yeah,
but. Yeah,
you don't want to freak the miners out too much. Like it would freak them out just seeing an Aboriginal guy on a stage near
already.
You know what I mean? They're just like, whoa, fuck.
I just had to like come out and just like, hey guys, it's fine. I'm not here to steal your gold. Like I'm just not like you did my land. You know what I mean, guys?
You should have done that old we're here to recognize the traditional owners of this land, BP, you know, every time. Right up the top.
straight into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, one of the funniest stories Chris Franklin told me, and this is about Nick Cody. I've got a few Nick Cody yarns today. But it's more about They went to a shop or like a service station, and there was like an old countryman, like an old Aboriginal man, and he had like an old mission dog. I don't know if you know guys know what it like mission dog, but it's just a dog that belongs to the community sort of thing. And was just like sitting next to him in a shop. And then Nick came up to this old black fella and was just like, hey, is this your dog? And this countryman's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then because Nick's like embarrassed, he's sort of like, oh yeah, is he microchipped? And Chris Franklin thought that was the funniest thing he's ever heard. was this young white kid from Melbourne asks an old Aboriginal man if a community dog was microchipped. It's such a fucking Melbourne thing. And Franklin's like, and Nick Cody will fucking deny that to this day. And I'm like, that's brilliant.
And the other hack was Capper. I found a animated little frame of Spider-Man eating out the Hulk's butthole. It took me so long to say that. But yeah, Spider-Man just chowing the Hulk's dot. And you posted that on someone's status, some Digby, some dude you haven't spoken to in 8 years, and no response from Digby, right?
No response from Digby, but it got 2 likes. So and some so not from Digby.
Yeah.
But he would have got all 3 notifications due to that, yeah. And that was him just doing a nice Christmas status and me commenting, imagine this, with the Hulk getting his ass eaten by Spider-Man. So that...
Oh, wow.
I think if I ever go back to Boomai, like my country town, and they'll ask me what I've been up to, I'm just going to tell them that story and then walk away. Yeah. Go, this is what I've been up to.
Just show them Spider-Man, you know, fucking eating out the Hulk's butt and just go, imagine this. And then walk away.
Imagine this. This is what I've been up to.
let's get into the phones.
Let's do it. So that was the third hack to go out. The safe word, as Dane said before, is crapper. I'll go first. I'll spin the wheel to see what we're going through this week. It's been these weeks in isolation are long, but they're also weirdly short. Does that make sense to you guys? Like the days just fucking blur together and all of a sudden it's the fucking weekend. Like the weekend matters. Not, you know, it's all just a mesh of time and fucking sitting on the couch. So I have been spending a lot of time on the phone and I have no idea if anything damaging is really going to come up. No one's tapped out in a while, but I think I should have some dicey stuff. I'll spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel.
There it is. It's a bit bright on the phone.
Spin that wheel. How'll make you feel. Do you remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
It is Camera Roll.
Man, we should put that song on when we spin the wheel. That was a Ninja Turtle soundtrack.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Spin that wheel. That was sick. Had a little dance, didn't you? Oh, man, I'm going to play that.
How'll make you feel. Yo, DJ.
I don't know if you could see. Can you see it? Maybe we're going to turn the screen.
Just keep talking so you're big on the screen. What do we got there? Have you got some tweets that you've screenshotted? Are they your tweets or like the black?
We spoke about this on a bonus episode. We tried to get Alan Fletcher, who plays Dr. Carl, on Neighbors. He's on Cameo for $30. We tried to get him to say thank you to all the Phone Hacks listeners and to tell other people to listen and download if they haven't already. And also to say that you can't catch COVID-19 from a fleshlight. Because he plays a doctor on TV, but Capper on a previous episode had DM'd him that on Instagram, right? And he never responded. He never responded on Instagram. But the good thing about Cameo is because, you know, it's for money. He responded within 5 minutes to my request. And he said, I don't endorse shows or products. And the flashlight joke is out of bounds. So, Dr. Carl, not doing a fleshlight COVID-19 joke. So basically, you know, he didn't want money to be relevant to the youth of Australia.
I got a because I'm on Cameo as well. While we're in, but somebody asked me to present an award through my Cameo. So instead of paying me money to be a host or an MC of their show, they wanted to give me $30 to, and say, and the winner of the award goes to
man. You didn't do it,
man?
No, because like, why wouldn't they just send me like, why wouldn't they get me to do it over Zoom? We could do it live or I could do a pre-record, but instead they wanted a like a high def picture, like done proper and present an award for $20 or whatever I charge on Cameo.
And you turned it down. That's money.
That's
Man, the Logies, they're having a hard time during COVID.
Yeah, man. They...
Dude, the Cameo site, though, this is okay. I'll do a plug for the Patreon now. It's only $5 for 4 bonus episodes a month. And on the last episode Capper and I recorded, we screen shared and went through the Cameo website. It's fucking fascinating, man. Just to see how people value either themselves and some, like, there's like Bud Bundy from Married with Children is like charging $50 to say happy birthday. And we're trying to find either the cheesiest or the most random celebrity to plug the show. And we're getting what the most fascinating one to me on there was Kato Kaelin. Do you know who that is, Dane?
No.
Kato Kaelin's claim to fame is he was living in O.J. Simpson's guest house when O.J. murdered two people.
I know who you're talking about. Isn't he like a stoner? Yeah. Is
that... Yeah. He looks like this surfy idiot, this blonde idiot. And he was like part of the trial, you know, because they cross-examine him for that huge whatever trial of the century, the O.J. Simpson thing. And now he's on Cameo and you can get him to fucking say whatever you want. So I was thinking of getting him to say O.J. definitely killed two people.
he would get that.
Spring that case back open.
Oh, dude.
Do the Cameo.
Oh, yeah. Crack it right back open. And actually, on the OJ thing, here's a. Do you think this joke will work if stand up ever comes back? This is my impression of OJ Simpson admitting to his crimes in a fun way. I killed my wife.
I love how much you love Borat.
I've been milking it for years. Yeah, I never let it go.
It's a must.
My wife, she's dead.
Your mustache.
My wife, she died.
Your mustache adds to it. That's the new.
Oh yeah.
That's why, man. Yeah. It's there now.
I know.
Man, you should go on. Man, that's a great hack.
What's that?
I should put you should have to put yourself on Cameo. We'll make a bet.
Yeah.
We'll make a bet in the Patreon. If we lose the bet, you've got to put yourself on Cameo as a Borat impersonator.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's pretty good because there was a Robert De Niro impersonator on there.
He was so
and
good.
And he says like there's a happy birthday thing he does. And what's his opening line every time? It's like, you talking to me? You talking to me?
You talking to me?
Happy birthday. And so I could just do, happy birthday from my wife.
Okay, we've got to do something like that. We'll do something.
Yeah,
like
well,
that.
Let us that, know. Like, if you go through Cameo and let us know if you find a celebrity that's affordable and you want us to try and hit up. Dr. Carl obviously has some standards, but I'm sure there's people on Cameo that have. There's porn stars. You could hit up porn stars on Cameo to get them to say Dane Simpson has a bigger dick than I do, you know? Whatever you want. The world is your oyster, right?
You know, the funniest thing is when you said porn stars, I thought of women. And then when you said has a bigger dick than I do, I'm like, oh, you're talking about guys. Okay. We have different brains.
I don't know. You watch women in porn? That's weird, bro. But okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you got your things down in Weird Wagga. We do things a bit differently here in Melbourne.
Backwoods world. It's
the guys are the real stars, really, to me.
Nice.
Oh man, that is great.
Well, so that was Dr. Carl rejecting us on Cameo.
You pick this one, Dane.
Right. Yeah, if I don't know, can you see? Is anything coming up? It might be too bright.
A little bit more scroll. Hold on.
Yeah, can you actually see it though? Like when I'm talking, is there anything popping out at you there?
Something in the middle, down the up the top, but in the middle. Yeah. So that second row with the mustache looks a little bit.
Okay, so as you can tell from isolation, I've grown this fucking awful mustache. Well, some people are saying it suits me. Some people are saying I look like a sex offender. And I agree with both. And I found a photo because I was actually, you know, the actor Sam Elliott, he's in Big Lebowski. Yeah, that guy. He's a famous, he always plays cowboys and stuff.
Roadhouse.
This is him. Roadhouse, classic.
Oh, Roadhouse is sick.
Yeah. He's wearing a shirt that says mustache rides.
Yep.
And if I was any good at Photoshop, I was going to put my stupid face on that. Because most people think free mustache rides is from Super Troopers.
Yeah.
But this is the OG shit, Sam Elliott. But the interesting thing about that photo is it's a screenshot from a movie called Mask, right? Not The Mask with Jim Carrey that everyone's been referencing lately.
No, I know the one.
This is a movie. This Rocky. Is a movie called Mask. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's. Do you guys know the film?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with Sher.
Where the dude has the crazy head.
Sher's the and the young kid looks like Kappa.
That's rough.
People often say that I'm a sexy mom. You know what I mean? I'm the hot version.
I think what they're saying is for you to be sexy, you need to wear a mask. I think is what they're saying. But
that's a pretty cool. Like that'd be a funny compliment to give to an enemy. Like go, oh, hey man, yeah, you look like the sexy version of Steve Buscemi. You know what I mean? Like just really throw him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's so that movie, I was like, because everyone's making Jim Carrey movies, but I thought it would be funny to show a picture of Rocky, the guy with the insane face, and then just say, you know, somebody stop me. Like make a meme. Smoking. Yeah. But the whole movie is about this guy with some genetic condition where his head and his face is all fucked up. And then Sam Elliott's like the cool guy seeing his mom, who's played by Cher. That's two Cher references in one episode. And then he dates a blind girl, and the blind girl loves him for who he is.
Right.
And then eventually, I couldn't remember this plot detail. Eventually, she feels his face, and is like, "Nah, this is I'm totally out." Or she like sticks with him. I couldn't remember what exactly happened.
I can't remember. I know it's Eric Stoltz. Is that his name, Eric?
Yeah,
who's playing the young guy, the Rocky. He was meant to be like the original Back to the Future guy before they replaced.
He was meant to be Marty McFly.
Yeah. But yeah, I always find that just such a weird connection. Like every time I see a YouTube video where they're like, "Oh, Michael J. Fox, it was actually Eric," and I'm like, "Yeah, but could you imagine Rocky being Marty McFly?" Like, that's a completely new movie. Like that's like
that would make the movie very confusing. Like
there's too many plots going on at one time.
Yeah. Well, because he'd never, like every time he tried to get in the DeLorean, the door would just hit him in his fucking massive head.
And then when he goes back in time and tries to like have sex with his mom and it's Cher, and you're like, I get it.
and then Cher would sing "If I Could Turn Back Time," and it's all full circle. Yeah. So yeah, that was a mustache ride Sam Elliott picture from the movie Mask. Nice. I don't know if that movie still holds up, but it's quite.
It would just be the Back to the Future would just be like people going, "Is this what people look like from the future?" Like, is this what we? And he's like, no, I've just got a facial disfigurement. That every time he travels back or forward, there's always that conversation he's always got to have.
You always have to explain. I can't remember if there's. Is there anything actually? Is it just like that's just how he looks? Like it's, or is that genuinely like there's something?
I think it's based on a true story, and it is some kind of genetic, facial condition.
Oh, right.
And then I want to say Laura Dern is the young girl, blind girl, who feels his face and is like, I'm out. And I feel like if I dated a blind woman and she felt my wispy teenage mustache, she would have the same reaction.
I genuinely think us know too much about this very strange movie.
Yeah, well, that's because I didn't even realize you guys would know it. I was like, I thought it was just this kind of weird American film from the 80s that like never really crossed international borders.
No, it crossed. It
it was there.
It was It was a midday movie here, I think, a few times, but it's also been a movie at nighttime.
So do you think someone's already made the meme of Rocky with his disfigured face and put "somebody stop me" or smoking?
No way. I don't think that they have, and I don't think anyone apart from us three will find the connection.
All right. Should we keep moving with the phones? Yeah. Then?
Yes, let's keep going.
All right, spinning the wheel to see what we're going through in Capper's phone this week. You haven't been tweeting much, so let's see what it lands on. Capper, we got search history.
Ooh.
Search history.
Yes.
Ooh. I briefly lost my phone just then. Search history. I've been looking up a bit of stuff that, you know, because when you're in lockdown and we talked about this already, you're just like, well, I've got time to look that up.
Yeah.
You know, if there's some weird question or something like that, then you're like, oh, yeah. So I got
what kind of phone do you have?
It's an Oppo.
Yeah, it's the biggest piece of shit in the world.
So,
there you go, guys.
All I see
there
is
you go.
Cumtown. Oh, you're looking up the podcast Cumtown. You're just waving it around. I don't know why you hold it up, why you swirl it around like that.
Yeah.
But at first, all I could see was the cracked screen and "help me in Spanish." Are you learning Spanish?
I know. I used to know Spanish. I spoke it about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to check that the spelling was correct for when I did a little comic that you might have seen.
Yeah.
And
giraffes says "help me" in Spanish. And I just wanted to check the spelling was right for Ayudami. Ayudami. Yeah. Help me.
Right.
I've got this. I don't know whether you guys know too much about the music of the night. That was the Phantom of the Opera song.
Yeah.
But my housemates thought that was the song from Evita.
No.
Which is pretty funny.
See, this is like the conversation.
Not music of the night.
No, yeah. another pop culture thing about a guy with a fucked up face. There you go.
Man, the mask, it's really a theme in the Phone Hacks podcast. God knows why. There's also the happy, happy, joy, joy link. Where one of my favorite cartoons ever growing up was Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
And then something I didn't know was the creator was a pedophile, and someone's made a documentary about him being a pedophile.
What?
So I don't like, he apparently groomed a lot of young girls.
Is this an American show or is that Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah. It's a cartoon, Ren and Stimpy. Like one's a chihuahua and the other is
a cat. Yeah.
A cat.
It's truly groundbreaking. It basically started the Nickelodeon channel, gave it a boost anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember Ren and Stimpy. I can vaguely remember some episodes, but I just couldn't remember whether they were English or American. But yeah, okay, so
not American.
It was American, and it was pretty crazy. Like I think when he first started, it was actually quite edgy and weird. But then when it went kind of mainstream, he had to like make it much more safe and stuff. And you know, so in some aspects, he plays by the rules. But
There's one where they banned it because I think Ren burns the Bill of Rights.
Oh shit!
So that was banned. But it's a great cartoon. But I was like, I just didn't know whether to watch this documentary because you got to separate the artist from the art, I guess.
Yeah. So is the documentary about him then being a pedophile? Like, does he get arrested or?
I don't think he ever got arrested. No, I think he just kind of groomed people and then married them.
What the fuck?
I don't know, man. I don't fucking. This is a comedy podcast.
Oh yeah, well here's.
Please get me out of this hole.
All you had to do was say I didn't watch it. Like that's all you had to do.
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the movie because I'm like I don't know like because. I don't know. That's one of the things. That's the only reason I want to have kids is so I can watch cartoons with them again.
Yeah.
Like,
well, so just say you watch the cartoon while listening to Michael Jackson and wearing your Woody Allen shirt, and we all know who you support. You know, that's fine.
Oh, wow.
It's every goddamn documentary, though. Like, I'd say 80% of documentaries wouldn't exist if it wasn't for pedophiles. So, you know, they are doing something.
The documentary industry is just going, please, come on.
Oh, dude, that's what any documentary you watch now, you're like, this is eventually going to take a sharp right turn to this guy grooming kids. We watched Walter Mercado, this amazing documentary about this Latin pop culture kind of phenomenon, and he just read astrology, and he was very flamboyant, and the whole time I was like, surely this takes the pedo turn at some point, but thankfully it didn't. It was just an amazing celebration of this guy's life.
That's weird. I bet there's a part two, and then they'll go into exactly what he did.
Yeah. So, all right, that was the Ren and Stimpy thing. It's a shame to. I didn't know that about the dude, but yeah. I was a fan of the cartoon growing up as well.
Yeah, yeah. The only other thing I was going to look at that's of interest was there is. I don't know. There's that dude. I've met him a few times. Isaac Butterfield.
Oh, the Buttsmarn.
The Buttsmarn.
Yeah.
All right.
The Buttsmarn.
He's went viral recently for making that some hacky Muslims drive taxis joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I was keen to, like, it's so weird because I met the dude once, and before he started out, before he kind of got big, one time Brett and I went to Newcastle to do some shows and he supported us and it was weird.
Yeah.
Because we were just in little sheds of like 20 people.
Right.
And this dude got up and just said his stuff and I was like, oh, yeah. And then you just see how big they are and stuff, and it's so weird because you have someone like Ren and Stimpy or something where you haven't met the guy, you haven't met the fucking guy who created Ren and Stimpy, but you like his art. Whereas I've met Isaac Butterfield and he was nice to me, but then he does these art that is different from mine. You know, I don't know if you'd call it art or what we do art, but he does something different. Guys, I'm trying to be philosophical here, all right? I'm trying to break you. Also,
it's like you were so worried about being stuck in the pedophile hole with Ren and Stimpy, and now you're supporting a guy who does blatantly racist jokes and calling it art.
Sit on the fence.
I don't support him. I don't support his art, but it's hard when you've met the guy and he's been nice to you.
Yeah, stop
calling it art.
Man, I was offering.
No, it's art, man. Belongs in a loop.
I was off him when he had like some kind of he released a special, but he had like a trailer, and this is the stupidness in me is that I'm a comedian, but yet I am like Aboriginal, and this comedian I put in quotation marks, but has a special out, releases a trailer, and then does two Aboriginal jokes in the trailer, and I'm like. Sure, like the comedian in me first went, surely you're racist towards other races. Surely you can separate the joke. Like put another racist joke in, man. Don't put two in, like against black. Like, split it up. but then the black fella in me secondly goes, hey, I don't think that's one. It's a hack shit joke, anyways.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put that in my special trailer. Like if I had that in my special, I certainly wouldn't highlight the fact that I write shitty hack jokes. But yeah, so I was already off it. I was like, nah, not for me. But also, I hate the marketing behind it of like, you're so if you're anti PC culture, then you should like me. And it's like, nah, because I would like you if you were an actually funny person, but you're not.
That's what I struggle with.
Yeah.
That's what I struggle with is the, that's what I did struggle with a lot is going, well, if it's clever and it's done right, then you can say, hey, it's you being offended, but are you just saying shocking things?
Yeah.
Are you just saying shocking things?
Yeah. And then that's it. And like, yeah, there's no thought put behind it. Yeah, for somebody who also labels off like big name comedians, that's your key sign there. When a comedian walks on stage and just goes, "Well, look, when I tell jokes, I like Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais," and it's like, "Yeah, cuz you're not Ricky Gervais or Dave Chappelle." Like, don't put you in a category of comedians that are some of the best in the world. Like, stop.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, that's the thing. Well, the jokes are so hacky, and like the worst thing with trying to fucking cancel this guy is that you're just playing his game by sharing it, like going, "Look what this fucker said."
Exactly.
And then fucking, you know, 50,000 more people see this joke because, you know, you retweeted it to put yourself on the moral high ground, but also, you know, just be like, "This, we got to get rid of him." And then he does a reaction video on YouTube that gets, you know, 3 million views or something. So he's like, "Ah, this is all perfect. This is exactly what I wanted."
That's
frustrating.
That's what I find so fascinating. Like, I find so fascinating that people retweet him and go, "Fuck this guy," or write him a message going, "Fuck you, you should be killed, you fucking asshole." You're like,
"Yeah,
you're him now."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
"You're the vampire."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is contagious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's a thing. And the joke, like, if you were at a club and you saw some guy go, "Where were all these Muslims? If the Muslims were getting shot, who was driving the cabs?" If you saw that at a club, you'd be like, this guy's fucking shit, you know? And then that's it. And then just hope the next comedian's better or something. But this shit of sharing it around just makes it worse.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So during lockdown, you do go down these wormholes and you're like, you're secretly, you're going, "Well, explain your way out of this one."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you look at one video and then you go, "I'll watch another video."
Well, this didn't come up in my camera roll.
I've got his merch.
Yeah.
I've got his merch. Well, I ordered 4 packs of it.
Dude, this came up in my, this is in my camera roll. You guys didn't see it just then, but because you know how YouTube like suggests videos for you to watch? One of his videos came up suggested for me, Isaac Butterfield, and it's "She Must Be Stopped. This Hungry Fat Chick Must Be Stopped." So that's the level of art, as Capper would call it, that he's putting out to the world.
I get suggested the videos as well, which is just crazy. And it says stuff like, his thoughts on Invasion Day. And then I'm like, I don't think this guy's got anything to say that's really going to be like thought-provoking at all. And it's just...
Or a clever take. It's just rehashing stereotypes that have been around since fucking the 1950s or even whatever, or just like old premises and, you know, shitty punchlines. And the thing is, I did watch one of his videos and he's a big dude. He's got a big beard and, he's kind of domineering in a way, but it like I could just see the scared little boy behind it all.
Oh, 100%. And yeah, he certainly can't. Yeah, hasn't certainly got the skills to.
But that's what annoys me. I wish when I saw him, he was like, I wish he was an asshole to me. But he's so nice to me. He talks to me all the time.
Yeah,
you're like, "Oh man, this is nice," and it's kind of heartbreaking because you don't want him to be you want him to be angry, so you'd be like, "Yeah, at least he's fucking true to himself." You know what I mean? Like, Barnaby Joyce is the fucking craziest right-wing country dude ever, but that's him. You know, deep down to his soul, that he is. Apparently, that's the worst thing about who's the guy who's always Bolt? Andrew Bolt.
Yeah.
Apparently, Andrew Bolt's just the same. He is the friendliest, nicest guy, and no one was doing trigger politics in Australia, and he went over to America, copied it, and brought it back to Australia.
It's just another way of playing a character or a type or a persona.
That's heartbreaking to me. I want you to be an asshole.
Because I love that, like, fucking Kappa, as the white fella, defending Isaac Butterfield, who's made jokes about Jewish people and Aboriginal people, but you're, as the white fella, going, nah, he's all right, bruh. Like, he's nice to me.
I think Capper's ultimate angle is that Butterfield's got a huge following and this is an open invitation to do the show. You seem like a nice guy and Capper respects your art. So
I don't respect his art, but I don't know. Like, I'm not going to – obviously, I'm a shit idiot, but I put that on stage as well, being a shit idiot.
Yeah. You know it is a persona. And the thing is, we got mutual friends. And dudes have been on the show. We've had Lewis Spears on and Luke Kigel, who are mates with the dude. And so, you know, it's you just got to – again, Capper, you got to separate the man from the material.
Yeah. But, you know, anyway, look, that's the problem with you people. You're all so woke that you can't see who's
it. Here he is. Yeah. He's telling it like it is again.
Get ready, Dane, to be schooled.
Millions of views. I love that you kicked in with you people. I love the...
Have you got the Zoom recorder on, Mike? Because I am going to kick off.
Oh, dude, this is
it. I'm going to put a logo just here, like... you know, on a thing and a zoom in on me and I'm going to put some action figures in the background.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are going down.
I love a rant comic that can't even string two sentences together.
I love it that I would fail even as a right-wing comic or a trigger comic. Like the easiest way to get views and they're like, look, I don't know. Are you saying all the right stuff? We're just not saying it in a nice, fluent way.
It's not convincing at all.
Convincing. All right. He cried at the end of his last one.
That'd be great. The emotional fucking right-wing tell-it-like-it-is guy.
He said that Dane Simpson's actually a nice guy.
And it made me rethink my views.
All right, we got to get to Dane's phone real quick.
All right.
Dane, I know you're recording on your phone, but hopefully this doesn't cut the track off.
Nah.
Well, spin the wheel. I don't have seen you tweeting much lately. So
I've been tweeting a lot more lately, and also I now have draft tweets. I didn't in the last time that we did the show because I didn't really tweet much.
Well, it is draft tweets.
Oh, it does snap. Now in saying that,
I want to see some fucking Tina Tuna Shrimply the best level shit. Yeah.
How do I get to draft tweets?
Just open Twitter and then you hit on the thing like you're going to write a tweet and then it should say drafts. Is there a little...
Yep, up the top.
Yep, so if you hit on drafts and that should come up. Well, just like go, what's three
it's
down?
A bright, but yeah, just yeah, tell us what
three down.
Two, three. I love those statuses that are just perfect. It's when smart people know they are dumb and dumb people think they are smart.
Here we go. This is fucking Isaac Butterfield level takedown.
I don't know what that means.
All right, Dane, I'm back.
Yeah, bro. the one above it says, and I'm embarrassed by this, Edinburgh Fringe should be held in New Zealand. Theme, no plague monkeys. That's...
Oh, yeah.
There's probably a reason why I didn't send these.
Yeah, no, is that, I think it's...
Is that like a plague monkey thing, like outbreak?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, I get it. That's good.
Just pick, whatever you got there. If you got something strong or something particularly embarrassing, feel free.
Embarrassing, so... I sometimes write a tweet and I'm a little bit like cranky about like society or the world, and then I go, oh, that's probably not good for the old career.
Any of those?
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you just sing in a Rage Against the Machine cover band with your dad?
I tweet it and then I put it in my drafts. That's how I.
I put a tweet out. I put a tweet out the other day, man. I was driving back from my organic grocery delivery job in my girlfriend's Volkswagen Golf, singing Fight the Power by Public Enemy.
Hell yeah, man.
I lost. I did not fight the power at all. And this is the way my life has turned.
That's your contribution to BLM right there.
Yeah, I love that somebody was telling Rage Against the Machine on Twitter to, why don't you just stick to making music and not be so political? What are you talking about? I said, ooh, it's almost NAIDOC week. Maybe I'll be on TV. It's that one time of a year where my opinions count.
Oh.
Yeah. NAIDOC week being National Aboriginal and Islanders Day of Celebration, which goes for a week.
You should have tweeted it, man. It might have gotten you some TV spot, you know?
I don't think you can ever bully your way into a TV spot. I think that they... I did do Have You Been Paying Attention, and I was on saying, because I'm like, oh, welcome Dane Simpson. I'm like, yeah, you got an Aboriginal, and it's not even NAIDOC week. Well done. And that got cut from the final.
Man, I saw the best thing ever. Like, you know, comedically, you can walk the line, then you bring it back around, everybody laughs. For NAIDOC week, for my work, I work with all women. Like, I'm the only dude in my staff, and this elder took us around these Aboriginal grounds and gave us this talk, and it was so awesome. And he showed us these reeds that you can weave into baskets. And he was going, okay, now the women did all the weaving and the cooking. And I was like, fuck, just holding my breath, just going, oh, my God, what's he going to say? And he goes, which is why they were the dominant force. And the theme of this year's NAIDOC week is we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for
her. Because of her.
And just fucking brought it around, just watched 15 women hold their breath to just absolutely rejoicing. The feeling in the air.
Because of her, we can.
That's it. Sorry, man. Yeah, I had it wrong. But
racist.
I was like, man, to walk a line like this on stage is my absolute dream.
Yeah.
Because he had me on the edge of my seat.
I love it.
So anything else in the old draft tweets there, Dan?
This is probably going along the same lines of what we've been talking about. If you're going to be racist, be racist. If you're going to be homophobic, be homophobic. It annoys me so much when you blame your religion or blaming politics for getting upset about when Macklemore sings at the grand final. I think it's one of those things at the time. It's people who are tweeting and they write stuff, especially on my Facebook, or they comment on things, particularly being Aboriginal or whatever it is. I'm like, just be racist. If you're going to be racist, just be go the whole hog. Don't hide behind silly shit language. Just say it. Say what you want. Don't powder. Annoys me. Don't go, well, actually, the grand final should be about Macklemore singing songs and I should be able to dance. It's like, no, mate, just say you don't like the gays or whatever it is. Just say it. Say the words.
There's an actual term for that I just heard recently. Those type of like tweets or posts, it's called dog whistling, where you're race baiting without coming out and saying it, you know? And like Trump does that a lot, where he'll post something like, low-income housing, you know, shall not invade the suburbs while I'm president. And you're basically saying, you know, the disenfranchised black people will not be moving into white neighborhoods as under my watch.
Yeah.
But you're not coming out and saying it. So it's just this fucking, it's a shitty kind of weak form of putting, you know, your shitty thoughts out in the world, but not actually owning it.
Man, when I was a kid, because I was born in Bundaberg, and we used to head back up to Bundy and hang out with my mum's family. And I remember going to the corner store, and I was a kid. I was like 10 years old. We walked into the shop, me and my cousins, and the guy behind the counter, because Queensland don't give a fuck, they were like, oi, blackie, don't steal nothing. Mm. And we were like, okay. Like, it was brutal, right? Then we moved to, we're in Wagga Wagga, and we're walking around Kmart, and there's just some like lady who works in Kmart, and she's just following us around, and we're just like, hey, how you doing? And she's like, can I help you? Do you need help finding something? And I'm like, just say, hey, Blackie, don't steal nothing.
Hey, Blackie.
I'd rather.
So basically what we're all saying is there's a certain integrity to being outright racist.
Absolutely. There's integrity to racism is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was talking about before. You know what I mean? I just want Isaac Butterfield to be fucking angry to me and just be a fucking... try to trigger me all the time. Sticking to his guns. Speaking from the heart. You know?
Well, we all wear masks. And that takes it back to...
I have heard this discussion before. I don't know about if you've heard this before, Mike, but they reckon in Texas there's this kind of like Bundaberg, there's this kind of like the blacks and the whites kind of know who they are, and there's this kind of – so everyone's kind of friendly to each other, but at the same time they don't mix and everyone's cool with that. But then when you go to Boston, it's kind of like Australia where it's just all underlying racism where – as soon as everyone gets inside their houses, they're like, yeah, I fucking saw him today, you know, rather than just going, hey, get off my lawn or whatever.
Yeah.
They walk inside and go, there was one on my lawn.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you prefer, yeah, people to know their race and stick to their own. That's what you like.
Yeah, that's why I'm moving to Texas. I'm moving. Actually,
you've
Bundaberg
dug so
seems
many
like
holes.
and obviously, like... no racism is the best kind of racism, but I mean, like,
see, this is where you're wrong, Dan. And
but if you
all right, then I'll find all the other Sri Lankan Jews in the world and just hang out with them. If that'll make it.
Yeah, yeah.
My brother and sister, basically.
Yeah.
Damn it. I always forget about mine.
I absolutely
I'm a
love,
minority on my own podcast.
I love when you do like gags about being Sri Lankan and people just go, whoa, I don't know, buddy. I don't know if you're allowed to go there. It's genius.
Oh, man. We've got to wrap this up. Oh, we got to keep it quick. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Yep. I got about 10 minutes.
All right. So let's get into the hacks then.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So I got a app that is basically a rolling dice there. So every time I click it, it rolls. I'll go first to see what hacks I got to do this week. An ad popped up with Chris Hemsworth telling me to vote. Hold on. Let's try it again. It's a 5.
Ooh.
A 5.
Ooh.
Kepler.
Which is that one?
Let's see. Let me pull this up here. 5 is a freestyle rap.
Ooh.
Freestyle rap.
We haven't done this in a while. This will be interesting over Zoom, I think. You give me a topic and I'll rap about it for 30 seconds. Usually the topic is quite fucked. What do you have?
Well, I've got a few set up, but on today's subjects, I think today you're going to have to rap about how Isaac Butterfield is your favorite comedian.
Dude, you really flipped the script on me there, didn't you?
So are you nearly ready?
Okay, so are you going to, as soon as you start beatboxing, I'll hit the timer and I'll do 30 seconds on Isaac Butterfield being my favorite comedian. Yo, I love Isaac. If you don't lick my ball sack, he's so funny. And his jokes that are racist makes me laugh every time. Know your places. Yeah, because he's edgy. He tells it like it is. Not like you friendly woke comics. We'll never make it in this biz. Yeah, he's the best. He'll say something fucking crazy. Not do a joke about a unicorn, you hipster crazy. Fuck, that's 30 seconds.
All right. I'm going to give that.
Yeah. That was good.
That was painful.
That was so good.
That was, Nailed it.
Oh, dude, just isolate that clip and send it to Isaac, and then he'll fucking come on our pod and boost our following. It's all great, you know?
You'll be on YouTube next week, cuz. 100%.
I got to make the pivot. This is my way to pivot into YouTube comic. So, yeah, that's the only way to do it. Capper, I'll roll the dice for you.
All right.
Okay, so there's the... you got a one. Yes. Capper, you have a one. One is socials.
Socials. Ooh, so, okay.
This one I've been sitting on for a while. This guy, a listener of the show, Stephen Woods, set up an OnlyFans page for you, Capper. I'll send you the image to use. So I'll show you guys here. So he made, you can't really see it, but I'll send this to you now, Capper. It says, Nick Capper is now on OnlyFans, Australia's favorite agricultural comedian now in the flesh. Come check out my pork palace. I reply and chat to all my fans. Only US $24.99 per month. www.onlyfans.com/Nick Capper. For anyone who doesn't know, OnlyFans is like just a way to see nudes of people you like and celebrities, right? $24.99 Capper for OnlyFans.
Fucking hell.
I'll send you the image. And apparently there's only one image on your OnlyFans. And if you pay the $24.99, it's just a close up of a micro penis. So I just sent that through to you.
Oh, man. Oh, God. So where am I going to put this up?
I don't know. I guess fan page or just Instagram. And yeah. I just put it up for fucking however long you want. I don't think anyone would actually pay the $24.99. And I don't know where that money would even go. It's all fucking weird.
So I'll check this out. OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Nick Capper. So this is actually set up.
Yeah.
I've also got a status for you, Cap, for that you could choose from if you... Can I?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to know this. I know what it's going to be, and I...
You could tell it to me after, and I could save it for a future one, or you could give him the option now.
Okay, give me the option.
Here's the option.
God, I'm really getting a roasting on this one.
It's a status. So a Facebook status saying, as you all are aware, myself and Mike Goldstein have a podcast called The Phone Hacks. In this podcast, we share statuses to our social media, which sometimes border the line inappropriate. Apparently, one of these statuses, which I previously shared, was not received in the spirit in which it was intended. I have since deleted the status, and I would like to give my apologies to the Aboriginal community, whom I apparently offended.
God.
Coming.
God.
Coming. That's actually worse for me, because it sounds like I made him do it.
Coming from Outback New South Wales means I sometimes appear to be insensitive.
Oh. That sucks.
Oh, God, that is the worst. No, I can't do that one.
It's a good one. I actually really like it, and I think we will tweak it because, honestly, Dane, anything like Aboriginal, like people will actually try and cancel us even for dancing around it.
Man, you'll love this one, Dane. Gareth Waugh, when COVID first kicked off, he wanted us to do a status that said, thank God festival's cancelled. If I have to listen to that Welcome to Country one more time.
Oh, shit.
It was so good.
Yeah, that's brutal.
So brutal.
That is brutal.
But, man, I'll have to do the OnlyFans one. That it takes a lot to scare me, Dane. As you know, we've been doing this podcast for a while.
Yeah.
And my soul is dead, but that has actually put the shiver through. It's made the OnlyFans one seem like a walk in the park.
Yeah. And I'd be interested to see how the OnlyFans, I don't think anyone pays the $24.99, and if they do, does it go to this guy who set it up and then they just do it to look at a micro penis? I don't know. It's, you know, it's very involved.
I should put it on Instagram, actually, because I'm actually hurting myself. It's got more of a following than the fan page.
Yeah.
Just no description. Just maybe give now.
Just put it up and just go desperate times, desperate measures.
Oh, God. Oh, this is horrible. All right. Anyway, okay, let's go on to Dane West.
All right.
Fuck you guys.
Dane.
This is fuck.
You can roll the dice as well, but we got a couple pre-planned hacks for you. Mine is just pretty basic. I ran it by my partner earlier to see if she thought it was funny. She wasn't that impressed. What I want,
so you know it's good.
You're on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
There's a page on Instagram called, let's see if you can see this. Big butts and more butts, right? and so, as you can see, it's there's a lot of big butts and there's more butts as well. So they're honest.
Oh no!
So I wanted you to just like go to one of the butts and then just share it to your story and just with the slobber emoji. That's an option, but I think what we want to push is Capper's. Capper wants he's got another parody song idea. It's quite brilliant, but you'll have to sing it into your phone. And then what? Main feed post on Instagram or story, Cap? What were you thinking?
Yeah, just a story or just on your Facebook, your personal Facebook page.
So here's the parody song. Cap, if you can remember the lyrics, I'll be impressed. Cap will sing it for you right now.
Gonna take my ass to the old town show and then I'm gonna blow my big load.
I'm gonna ride till I blow my load.
Oh wow. Okay. Where do I have to put that?
Story.
Okay, we're
Insta story.
Insta story.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but actually, film it onto your phone so then you can send us. So we have the files, so it's not just Instagram and then it's gone in 24 hours.
Yeah.
But it's just So gonna take my ass to the Old Town Chode and gonna ride till I blow my load.
So send me the lyrics because I'm recording on my phone now. And then I'll
do it after.
I'll get it done.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Thank you so much.
That is fucked.
Oh shit. Dane, fucking fantastic guest as always. Anything to plug besides Servo Bingo? What else is going on?
I've got my special coming out, which is full of really low hanging fruit jokes. So all of them. So yes. All of those guys, I should be like, you know, getting millions of viewers. It's going to be heaps of fun. I've got my special. It was my first solo hour. It's all about how I got into comedy. It's called Origins, but yeah, get on my Facebook, Dane Simpson, and check it out. It'll come out soon.
Perfect.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. And that's where you actually proposed to your fiance Eleanor on one of the shows.
Yeah, after that show. So that was part of the recording. I think I snipped it off the end, but I might put it in as some of the special features or something like that people can watch. Yeah, little extras. I think I might do something similar and release it the same way that Pork Palace was released from Nick Capper's special. I'll do something similar to what you did because that was really cool. I loved Pork Palace. Loved it. Watched it.
Yeah.
I messaged you afterwards. Such a good show.
Well, check out Pork Palace. Man. Check out Nick Capper's OnlyFans. And we also have a live Zoom show coming up on September 5th at 8 p.m. Make sure you get tickets to that. It'll be interesting, to say the least. We're figuring it out right now. So get on board with that.
You doing anything on September 5th, Dane?
I'm definitely jumping on board on that. I'll be there.
Okay. All right. Well, we might get you as a guest. Yeah. You never know. We could get some high profile guests, some real.
Dude, you just asked me and I said yes. So you're
right. All right. Thanks so much, Dane. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, guys. See ya. Legends.
Bye.
Bye.